My voice coming back at me. Anyway, today's date, folks, is March 3rd, 2023. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Republic Broadcasting at www.republicbroadcasting.org. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose. I do Mondays and Fridays for Jeffrey Bennett here of the Edge of Darkness. And I am bringing up our very, very favorite guest here. We've had him on before. It's Chris Brumbles. He's with the Oregon Firearms Federation. He is the county coordinator for his county. And he has been pushing very hard for SASOs. For those of you that don't know what those are, that's a Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance. Now, we've been reading the news lately in some of the states back east, going towards the other side of the continent here, that some of the SASOs are being shot down, and maybe Chris will be able to fill us in a little bit more on how that's happened recently, because I've been reading some situations in other states other than Oregon, and I think there's been some pushback, and they haven't been successful, or they've had their Second Amendment sanctuary ordinances basically stripped from them, if not distorted and rewritten according to how the government thugs want, then they've completely had their Second Amendment sanctuary ordinances shot down. And I even heard of there's one place where they're wanting to remove it because they've gotten so much crap from the liberals that they're trying to find some way now to legally be able to remove it off their books, and I don't know how that goes. But anyway, I'd like to welcome back again, folks. As you all know, Chris has been with us before, and if any of you were listening to Jeffrey Bennett's Edge of Darkness yesterday, he gave a very, very, very powerful take. Now, as you all know, he likes the old movies, the old music, and he's able to take the old Westerns that we grew up under, many of us, and be able to show that there's lessons to be learned there. And one of the things that he brought up yesterday, how angry he is, and you'll understand why I'm bringing this up before we bring on our guest. Many of us are so angry And as you heard Jeffrey Bennett say yesterday in his show, he's angry at how lazy the American people have become, how soft they have gotten, some of them so apathetic, others making excuses, well, somebody else can do it better than I can, so I'll just sit back and let somebody else fight for my country. That is a non-answer. That is unacceptable. And Jeffrey, you know, he was in Vietnam. Myself, I was on my way to Vietnam, and I ended up in Korea, and I was in Korea when Vietnam fell. The guest we have coming up now is also an Army veteran. And when you look at what Jeffrey Bennett said yesterday, and you've heard me tell you all that many of us who've served in the military, whether it was 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, or over 30 years, that many of us feel betrayed. Okay, we feel cheated, we feel lied to, we feel betrayed, we were manipulated, we are more than just cannon fodder, and the older we've gotten, many of us, we've come to realize that it's the military-industrial complex that is causing these wars, with the CIA helping to create them, toppling their version of a bad government, and putting up one of their own that is better able to be controlled and manipulated. As my guest is going to tell you when he comes on, he will probably agree with me that he's pretty angry too, just as I am. Those of us that served this country and we believed in the Constitution, to see now that we haven't really had a working Constitution since 1871, and that the leftists and the globalists and the deep state, what they need to do is they need to get rid of America. They need to knock her to her knees. And by knocking her to her knees, and they believe that they can become the global leaders of a one-world government, and where all of us will have no longer sovereignty. Now, I'm told that we have a lot of firearms out there across the country, and if anybody tried to invade us, they'd be met with some not-so-friendly fire. But the thing is, folks, I don't think they need to invade us. I think they're destroying our country from within, starting on the southern border and working all the way in. So it is very important, though, regardless of what you believe and how far you think the government can or should not go, when it comes to our Second Amendment, there is no compromise. Pure and simple. No compromise. I am not discounting the people that have died by guns, but do you realize that the amount of people that have died due to guns is far less than how people have died from other means, including this experimental inoculation? So the thing is, folks, with your Second Amendment, if you are not willing to fight for your Second Amendment, you will no longer have a First Amendment. They're already eroding away our First Amendment, where people can actually go to jail for speaking out against their government, or worse, even something worse happened to them. Okay, and so the thing is if you don't value your freedom of speech, you don't value your freedom to practice and worship as you see fit, or not even go to church if you don't want to, if you don't see the value of the freedom of the press, where nowadays we get newspapers like the Willamette Weekly in Oregon and the Oregonian, who won't even allow two other candidates to debate with the three top women because the other two candidates didn't have at least $1 million in their pack, which means only people with money can even hope to win or to even run for that matter. So if you don't have freedom of the press, and they won't publicize the other candidates running, and they won't put in other ideas other than the liberal agenda, anything liberal, far left, Marxist, communist, that can go in newspapers like the Oregonian. But don't you dare put anything in there that explains your First Amendment, your right to have a First Amendment, your right to have your Second Amendment protect your First Amendment. No, those things are stricken from the records. We are becoming a surveillance state, folks. We're becoming censored. We're becoming surveilled everywhere we go. Now they're talking about cameras in places that you and I would not even imagine cameras, all right? So maybe our guest today is going to be able to come up with some suggestion he has, because I don't know what it's going to take to motivate some of you. I've heard that some of you are sitting back and you're being entertained. This is not for entertainment. And it pisses me off to the dickens to think that you guys think that, you know, as this one guy said to Jeffrey Bennett, well, you know what? What would I do if this and that happens? I listen to you guys 14, 16 hours a day. And Jeffrey Bennett's saying, 14 to 16 hours a day, don't you have better things to do, like spend time with your family or make a victory garden or do something for the community rather than sitting there on your ass listening to radio 14 to 16 hours a day? I am not here to entertain you, as Jeffrey Bennett says. I agree. I'm right beside him on that one. We're here to educate you. And I say that all in caps. We're here to educate you. And then hopefully by educating you, we can inspire something in you. Maybe something that wants the country that you live in to be more of the Leave It to the Beaver that it was back in the 50s. But how about even better? So we're here to educate you so we can inspire you to motivate you to get off your derrieres and do something, even if it means write a letter. You know, this guy here is prolific in his writing. You guys need to see about getting yourself motivated to write letters, go to parent-teacher meetings, go to Second Amendment meetings. If you have people in your community that are trying to present the fact that our First and Second Amendment are only two of the many of our natural God-given rights that they're trying to strip from us. So get off your derrieres. Understand that EIM, real easy to remember, EIM, educate, inspire, and motivate. We need to work together as a team. Chris, thank you for coming back on to RBN. What is in the news right now that you'd like to share with us?
Well, first I want to say thank you for letting me be on here and let us know how you really feel, Maggie. Don't hold anything back. I mean, I don't want to talk about the news, if that's okay. I would talk about the say-so, but before I do, I'd like to talk about the Constitution and the government for just a minute, because you just sparked something in me that people need to know. The Constitution was written to create and govern our government. It wasn't written to govern us, not the people.
Right.
Not the states either. The federal government was put there to serve us. Now, the Bill of Rights, you know, the federal government was not a party to the compact. They were the result. And our founders called them the creature of the compact. The compact or contract between states is what created them. The Bill of Rights should be called the Bill of Limitations because, you know, it gives nobody any rights. And I get so sick and tired of hearing when people call it my constitutional right or my Second Amendment right. You do have a right, but it wasn't granted by the Second Amendment. It was given to you by God and nature when you were born. And its sole purpose was to safeguard our God-given rights by limiting the government power. Congress even insisted that government make no laws about religion or assembly or the press or the right to petition or the right to bear arms and so on and so forth. These amendments are directly and solely at the federal government, aimed at them. Not the people of the United States. So the Ten Commandments, they're like the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It never gave them any, they have no authority. I've been saying for years that every gun law is illegal, and it is. In the United States, anyways, every gun law is illegal, and I believe when we talk about Nicerfer versus Bruin later, you will see that the Supreme Court agrees with me now. But we've been watching, there's a guy named Frederick Bastiat. I think some people have heard of him. And he defined the end of justice as, absence of plunder of your rights, and property is included in your rights.
Right.
And the end of government was the absence of the end of government is the absence of the plunder of your rights, and justice. I'm getting this all screwed up right now. I got a little shaky when I was thinking about that court case. So the end of government is justice, and the end of justice is the absence of the plunder of your rights and property. And those were both said by Frederick Bastiat. So, but we've been watching the plunder of our rights and our property on a daily basis. Our employees, and I call them elected employees because that's what they are. They're not leaders. They're not our bosses. We're their bosses. They don't care about their oath of office. And this judge that I'm going to talk about in a while, you'll see that he absolutely doesn't care about it and really doesn't have any working knowledge of the Constitution unless he's just faking it.
Right.
The Constitution is what makes them legitimate. They swore a solemn oath to it. And it's time to start making these people obey their oath of office. And if they don't, you know, we need to quit electing lunatics. And we—I mean, these people got about a 11% approval rating, and they get elected at about 98%. It's pathetic. So, getting back to the say-so. So I started the say-so. Well, Rob Taylor actually started it, and I jumped in right behind him and helped him. We had another friend, Tom McCurgan, that was on board, but he's passed away years ago. God bless his soul, rest his soul.
Yes, amen.
So it was in 2014 or 2015 that we started doing. We started out with the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance, and what that Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance said was that you can't enforce any gun laws in our county that are unconstitutional, which they all are. But and it went back to 2012 because our gun laws, real bad gun laws, started happening about 2015. And but so I went down to the county commissioner's office, did everything I was supposed to do, tried to get them to pass this law. They end up giving me a watered down resolution. It had no teeth. It meant nothing. So I went ahead and filed it. And we got the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance basically said that you can't enforce, the county cannot enforce any gun laws in the county that are unconstitutional since 2012. And the sheriff gets to decide what's constitutional because you had to have somebody accountable.
Right.
And the sheriff should be accountable anyways, because he is the closest, you know, he's the only elected law enforcement officer in the county. So he's directly responsible to the people. So we passed that in 2018. They had all the lefties come out and attack me while I was in the commissioner's office, and didn't bother me. I don't care. They're ignorant. They don't know what they're talking about. And they said that, let him go through the process. Let him go. We want him to go through the process because they didn't think I could pass this or get the signatures. So I did, and then I was hearing that, well, he'll never get the signatures. And that was coming from the county commissioners. Well, when I got the signatures, he said, well, he'll never pass it. And then when it passed, oh boy. Now they don't like that too much. So the next step was to pass the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance. And what the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance is, you cannot enforce you can't use our county employees, our buildings, our money, donations, anything in our county to enforce these illegal and unconstitutional federal and state gun laws. Except we did put exceptions. We put machine guns and felons because we knew that that would never not fly past any courts.
Right.
Even though we're finding out now that, well, we'll talk about that later. Felons are, I think, are, if you've committed a nonviolent act, I think the Supreme Court will eventually figure out that that's unconstitutional to keep them from their rights. So we went ahead and passed that in 2020, and they did not like, I kept hearing rumors, they're going to take you to court. Oh, go ahead, whatever, I don't care. And so they did take us to court, and what they did, but they couldn't just take us to court on our say-so, so they had to cheat. So the county commissioners got together with the county council, and they blended our two laws together, saying they were almost the same thing, which they were not. But somehow they thought when they blended it, they could use an obscure law to get judicial review. And so they did that, and they went up to the judge and basically told him, this is unconstitutional, wink, wink, throw it out. And then they called in every town from New York City. They called in the attorney general, and they called in a great big law firm from downtown Portland. And our own county attorney fought against us. So with Oregon Firearms Federation decided to go ahead, and we fought hard. We got to intervene. And so we were the only ones fighting for this law. So we went in there and we won our case. And so, you know, I had been meeting with one of the county commissioners every month, and he promised me he would never, ever go against the people again. He learned his lesson. He had just got elected, and they kind of tricked them into it. But the other two county commissioners and the county council went behind his back, and they violated public meeting laws. I didn't know this at the time, and now by the time I found it out, the statute of limitation had been, you know, used up on that, so I couldn't report them. But they got together and they decided to go ahead without a public meeting or without permission or a vote or anything to go ahead and appeal this case. And they called in the attorney general, of course. So we kind of figured we'd lose this case, the appeal, because out of 13 justices on the appeals court, only one is elected. The rest of them are appointed by these demon rat governors.
And this is the one where Judge Egan is the one that was concurring. Yeah. You sent me that.
Yeah.
And there are some things I definitely want to bring up that he said that absolutely enraged me.
Well, he was totally wrong on his opinion. His opinion came out on February 15th, and the opinion basically just said, you guys, a bunch of white supremacists, racist, anti-Semites. It was all ideologically woke ideologically motivated. It had very little to do with the law.
No.
The only thing in the law he put there was he said that you violated the preemption statute, which is total hogwash. And I've got the preemption statute right here in front of me. And basically what it says is only the legislature, with just a couple exceptions, can write gun laws. Well, we didn't write a gun law.
No.
We just didn't allow our county to spend money on enforcing it. They could have brought the state police. They could have brought the federal government in here. And hopefully the sheriff would have took his SAPO seriously. But let me back up a little bit. When they blended our laws, though, they screwed them up big time. They threw out the severability clause on purpose, and they changed, because we had penalties, they changed shall pay a penalty to may pay a penalty. And they did this deliberate. And they came out claiming that they just wanted to know what the true intent of the people were. That's why they put it in front of the court.
So what can you share with our listeners just how important the way you word things are and how the government has been basically hosing us over by manipulation of words and meanings? So shall and may are two different things. What do they mean?
Well, to me, I mean, it's self-explanatory. If you shall be fined, you shall be, they're going to fine you if you violate this law. If you may be fined, and it's left up to the county. And of course, you know, the county sticks together. So
yep.
we didn't give them that option.
Okay.
And so this judge, we did not violate the preemption statute. We had already, now you got to understand, we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to get to this appeals court. He treated it like a joke. And
oh, I know.
Very seldom do I let myself get PO'd, but I did for about a week. And matter of fact, I came up with another ordinance I'm going to write that I believe is court proof. I'm not going to tell you about that today because I don't want them to know what's going on. I don't care if they know there's an ordinance. I just don't care. I don't want them to know what it is. So I don't give them a little time to prepare as possible.
Right.
But this judge also acted like the government is kings. We don't elect kings. And yep. He basically said that the counties can't, you know, they have to do whatever the state or feds say. He even said the feds were superior. Well, yes. Guess what? Mr. James Madison said that the people are the common superior to the state and federal governments. We are the creator. They are the creatures. And I want to read you something here from, EPA versus Brown stated that the states are not a puppet to a ventriloquist Congress. Can't talk today. Government may not compel states to implement by legislation or executive action federal regulatory programs. And then in Mac Prinz versus U.S., you know Sheriff Mac, just like I do, Congress may not circumvent that prohibition by conscripting the state's officers directly. They cannot force state or local authorities to enforce their laws. So right there, the judge is wrong. He basically said that we had to obey the federal government's and enforce their laws no matter what. He's wrong.
That's right.
If he would have read the anti-commandeering doctrine, which I know my attorney brought up, he would see that there's five cases since 1842 saying that the government cannot commandeer state and local authority. So what do we do now? We don't know what we're going to do yet, but we've got a little bit of time, and we're trying to decide what our next step is. But we are also fighting 114, and that's a big one, and we've got a ton of money invested in that. It's the people's money, because they're the ones who donate. But I'm also going to push another ordinance. But this makes me sick to my stomach. This guy basically come out and called more than half the country racist.
Exactly. So let me go over a few of these things so people understand where we're coming from. This is Columbia County versus the state of Oregon. And and the last name of the judge is Egan, right?
Yes, James C. Egan. We'll just call him Jimbo.
James C., like in Charlie Egan, okay? So this is what he wrote. I'm going to pick it apart a little bit. He goes, I fully agree with and endorse the majority's disposition and reasoning in this case. Notice how he said, I fully agree with and endorse the majority's disposition and reasoning in this case. I write separately to draw attention to the disturbing implications at the heart of the, how do you pronounce the word, intervener's arguments, and the ordinance itself, as George Orwell wrote in 1946. And I'm going to quote, he puts a quote here.
By the way, George Orwell was a communist, just so everybody knows.
That's right.
He
was a communist. So George Orwell wrote in 1946, quote, if thought corrupts language, language can also corrupt thought. A bad usage can spread by tradition and imitation, even among people who should and do know better. Now, let me say that again. He says, a bad usage can spread by tradition and imitation, even among people who should and do know better, unquote. Isn't that interesting? Then that means you people, like you, Judge Egan, Judge James C. Egan, okay? If that's true, then you using this sense is showing what a hypocrite you are, because it's the woke ideology, it's the far leftist, you know, socialist, communist, Marxist that are actually trying to break our traditions. They're trying to destroy our traditions. And then they want us to imitate and have new traditions that follow goose step like you would to Hitler marching down the street. He goes on here in this decision that he sent to Chris Brumbles and others. Let's see here. He goes on and he starts to say, the UN has or will impose mandates. So here we go. This is coming from a judge.
Let me interject for a second. Now, this is where he starts attacking our lawyer, like he's claiming that our lawyer's spreading UN propaganda stuff. But the lawyer said, I mean, not even a full sentence talking about it. He was asking him what laws this would protect us from, and he said federal, state, and any foreign entity, like if the UN came in, and he just blew that out of
proportion. He really did.
By the way, when he went on that big rant, I bet he didn't know that there's a law they're trying to pass in Salem right now called, it's HB 2572, where they want to make good, loyal, good patriots. They want to steal their free speech, and they want to be able to lock them up for paramilitary activity. And they mentioned by name Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, and the Proud Boys, but they excluded Antifa and guess what? Foreign troops on our soil. So
yes.
Who's spreading propaganda? I mean,
exactly. So
is it propaganda or not? So go ahead.
So you're considered to be the interventor, right?
Intervener, yes.
Intervener, okay. So he says the interveners, which is your council, he says, refer to the alleged United Nations and, quote, international firearms laws, unquote. And then the judge says those references allude to the conspiracy theory that the UN has or will impose mandates upon the federal government that will require state and local governments to do the bidding of the UN, specifically to disarm the American public in violation of the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 27 of the Oregon Constitution, unquote. Folks, I want you to know something. This judge, James C. Egan, up in, I guess it's the Portland area. Do you know this guy's former military, isn't he, Chris?
Yeah, it made me sick when I looked up his background. He was
a former Marine. No, he's
officer,
no Marine.
He was in the Jagoff Corps, yeah. And he was chair for the Republican Party at some point.
Yeah, so, well, you know what? He's not a Marine.
Yeah.
He is not a Marine. I take offense to that. I mean, I was Army 35 years as my husband, but my family on my dad's side, it's Marine Corps going all the way back. Both my grandfathers were Marine Corps. My bio father was Marine Corps. My uncle was Marine Corps, you know? So I, as an Army puke, I really take offense, especially for a Marine, because the Marines are always pride themselves in being a family. They pride themselves in being the first one to the wall. They are the first ones in. They're the last ones to leave. How dare he say what he said?
You know, because of human nature, we need a government. But because of human nature, we need them to be we need to put them to heel. They need to stay by the limits that we granted them and the powers that we've loaned them. And we did loan them to them. These people think every one of them now think that we elect kings, and we don't. And even people that I don't even like saying ruling, when somebody says a judge made a ruling, they don't make a rulings, they give opinions, cuz only kings give rulings, right?
Right.
And Chris Ann Hall agreed with me. I mean, she's the first person I ever said that. I mean, heard say that. And I thought, yeah, you know what? You got a point there. But this guy, I tell you what, he really pissed me off. And it's really disheartening that he's the only elected judge. He was not appointed. He's the only elected judge to the appeals court, and he's the chief judge. So that really, if you can't even trust people who were former Marines, who can you trust? You can only trust people we can only trust in ourselves. And we have to start demanding that our rights are obeyed and the plunder is stopped.
You know, I have a question, Chris. This Judge James C. Egan up in the Portland area,
yeah.
I'm hoping someone here listening to this knows him or knows of him, because yeah. I want them to hear this interview. I want this to hear on Republic Broadcasting Network what you're saying. When he says in here, now listen to this, he goes, there's this conspiracy theory that the UN has or will impose mandates upon the federal government that will require state and local governments to do the bidding of the UN.
Well, you know, they already tried that when Obozo was in. They've got most of the countries to sign on to the treaty. We're the only ones that haven't signed on to the treaty.
That's true. But what we are signing on to, unfortunately, not we, the guy who's posing as Biden, okay, he has signed something turning our sovereignty over to the World Health Organization. How is there any difference between us losing our sovereignty to the WHO that can tell us when we can get shots, how we have to get shots, can't travel between the United States borders without shots, can't travel overseas? So we don't comply.
No. Totally illegal. It's not a treaty. Treaty has to be ratified by the Senate.
Right.
What they're probably planning on doing is letting that sit there until they can get a receptive Senate and then vote on it. But you never know. I mean, I'll say Sleepy Joe. He keeps you know, forcing bureaucratic agencies to do illegal stuff. So the guy is a tyrant. He's usurping his authority. And we just got to, you know, we can never give up our guns, and we can never allow them to dictate what to put in our body. Cannot do it. No. I mean, if you do that, you're a slave. And let me read this here. Just a quick essay by James Madison.
Okay.
It's on property rights. A man's land, property is a man's land, merchandise, or money in his property. Opinions and communications of them. Religious opinions and possession and practices dictated by them. Of his body and his safety and liberty of it, his free use of his faculties and his free choice of objects on which to employ them. So a man's right to his property. A man has a right to his property and a right and property in his rights. That's man's natural rights. That was an essay written by James Madison, who was the author of the first draft of the Second Amendment and the father of the Constitution. And he, by the way, his favorite book was on political theory was Aristotle's Politics. And Aristotle points out several times in that book that citizens should have weapons, and only those with weapons should be citizens. Otherwise, those who are disarmed will be slaves to those who are armed. So that's not a, you know, something that just made up. It was said by clear back in Aristotle's time. And this guy. So if this guy is a Marines officer, I'm not sure what rank he was, colonel, major, whatever he was, but, and this guy raised his right hand to swear an oath to the Constitution, and he believes that the federal government is kings and can do whatever they want. Did he? You remember when you went in the military? When I was in the military, we were even given a class that you take an oath of office. You're supposed to obey your president and everybody above you.
Yep.
But you cannot do unlawful orders. You cannot. If your drill sergeant tells you to go rape that chick over there, you can't do that. It violates your oath.
Exactly. And I think they learned a lot of lessons what happened in May Lai in Vietnam back in the 60s. So right. I think when I went through in the 70s and you went through training, I think in the 80s, I think that we were pretty much, it was like you, if you find an officer above you and he's doing something that you know is morally, ethically, spiritually, or even physically wrong, you are duty bound to disobey. But, you know, a lot of people.
The same thing with the government. The government takes an oath. And they violate it every single day. Why are we not finding a way to throw these bums out? Because if you don't follow the Constitution, then we don't have a Republican form of government. The law is being violated. We're guaranteed in Article 4, Section 4, a Republican form of government. If they're disobeying the Constitution, we have anarchy. And right now we have a combination of anarchy and fascism. And socialism, I call it the neo-communism, because that's where they're headed, folks. They want full-out, blown-out communism, and they've written about it, they've made movies about it, and they talk about it almost on a daily basis.
And they have a bond in their secret societies of in the Bilderbergs and in the Trilateral Commission and all the rest of them. They have a bond. That's they have to let us know what they're going to do to us, whether it's going to be, you know, death or injury or creating wars or whatever. So they always let us know just before they bring the hammer down on us. And that's supposedly like a code of honor for them. So, you know, they don't care about us. They don't care about this country. The only way they can have a complete one world government, Chris, as you know, is by taking America to her knees.
They can't get it without our guns. And we can never give up our guns. There's a reason why our founders, you know, like I said last time, our founders didn't come in from hunting quail when they wrote the Second Amendment. They just fought the most tyrannical government. They had studied this. They'd fought the most tyrannical government that had ever lived. And they knew what was going to happen if you let them take your guns. You know, they also studied, let's see here, I got some notes here, I can't remember this guy's name. Oh, let's see here.
While you're looking that up, let me read this to the right public. Yeah, so folks, here Chris Brumbles had, with his people, taken this forward, and this judge came back with some of the most insane, and I do not use that word lightly, insane, hypocritical, mm-hmm. crap that I have ever heard. I couldn't even believe that a judge would write what his opinion was, what his kind of like final decision was. So Chris wrote back to him this, and then we can wrap it up with this judge. On February 25th, 2023, this is from Chris Brumbles now. February 15th, 2023, I received the long-awaited opinion from the Oregon Appeals Court concerning Columbia case number, and known to the appeals court at Columbia County, a state of Oregon case. The author of the opinion was Chief Judge James C. Egan. The opinion that Judge Egan authored was this: the most unprofessional, divisive butchery of the English language that I have ever read and seem to be based on woke ideology while hardly having anything to do with the law. The opinion attacked Oregon Firearms Federation, me as the chief petitioner, over half of the population of my county, my lawyer, and the the Sheriff's Association, CSPOA, which had nothing to do with the law that our county had passed. I haven't even mentioned the voters in over 20 other counties in Oregon and 61% of the counties in this country that have Second Amendment sanctuary ordinances in one form or another that were actually slighted by this judge. The CSPCA is an acronym for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, who teach peace officers about the Constitution and how to obey their oath. So I reckon this Judge Eakin must despise the U.S. Constitution, which makes me wonder why he is a judge in the first place. And how can he treat his solemn oath as if it were a ritual? Judge Eakin accused our lawyer of presenting, quote, flawed, illegitimized, quasi-legal arguments, unquote, and promoting the UN conspiracy theories while inferring that anybody that had anything to do with the Second Amendment sanctuary ordinance then was a white supremacist, was an auto-Semite, racist, and other woke cultural Marxist blowing rhetoric. He did these things while invoking. He did these things while invoking quotes from George Orwell. And, you know, Chris, when you write this letter and you finally finish it mm-hmm. by saying, as someone who studied the Constitution, founding documents, Federalist Papers, and legal commentaries of the first 50 years of our country while the founders were all alive, I strongly believe that the appeals court was writing on their decision, but without, you're trying to say, was wrong on their decision, but reading the opinions makes me believe that our arguments were not even listened to, and that the fix was in beforehand. After the past two or three years of witnessing a dual system of justice and being denied a Republican form of government under the rule of law that it guarantees under Article 4, Section 4, we are now witnessing what I believe to the ideology-based judicial tyranny and disrespect to the bench's employers in the highest order. And you signed it. You also said, and this is good right here, I'm convinced that Judge James Charles Eagan or Judge Egan's beliefs that we are elect kings to the country has a problem with judicial rules 2.1, 3.2, 3.3, 3.4, 3.7, and possibly even more. And then you go on and then you sign it in Liberty Chris Brumbles. You know, if I was a judge, Chris, and I'd gotten this letter from you, mm-hmm. I would have felt so ashamed. That's if I had a conscience. I don't think this judge has a conscience.
No, I don't either. And that was a complaint. So he will be up in front of whatever board on March 17th. They only look at complaints every 2 months for judges. But nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. But hopefully, I get him. I'm hoping to just cause him a little bit of political pain or something. And I've heard that there's a judge that's going to write a complaint and a couple lawyers. And I've called some of my Jewish friends and say, hey, you know, you were called an anti-Semite. Would you do some complaints too? And they said, absolutely. So hopefully we can get some more people to write in, because this is not just me that did this say so. This is the whole county. This is, I mean, like I said, there 61% of the counties in this country have the say so, and it is totally legal. I don't care what the judge says.
Go ahead.
I just had a message pop up and I tried to
just ignore it. I was just asking if we were taking callers, and I put a message in that Paul from California can call in next time. Well, because you have a lot of information you're trying to give us.
No, either way you want to do it, I don't care.
Do you want to take a caller?
I don't care.
Okay, let's go. Paul in California. Hello?
Hi.
Paul in California. So we have Paul in California. He has a question for Chris Brumbles.
Sure.
Well, you know, I don't know about a question. On the one hand, it's like I'm totally on your side. I see what you're trying to do. I empathize. I mean, you're my kind of people. On the other hand, you're killing me. I mean, I know a little bit about the law. Okay, well, so you're talking about a county law, a county ordinance, whatever you want, however, you know, these are inferior laws. So if the Constitution means anything, and if the Supremacy Clause means anything, then they already can't enforce, constitutionally, that is, any unconstitutional...
Wait a minute. You're confusing the Supremacy Clause, I think.
Hang on.
You know what the Supremacy Clause says?
Well, I know what it says on the National Constitution. I know what it says on the California Constitution. Now, you go ahead and respond to that.
The Supremacy Clause on the Constitution of the United States, Article 6, Clause 2, says that it doesn't, you know, a lot of people think it says the federal government is supreme. It doesn't. It says the Constitution is supreme. So if any law that violates the Constitution that's written by the federal government or the state government is null and void, and I can give you all kinds of court cases here that say that.
I'm very familiar with this. I spent quite a few years between about 2015 or 14 and 2017-18. I put quite a bit of time into so-called the law. Now, I got to tell you, I've read a significant amount of case law, watched tons of videos, been on many people's legal sites, read articles. Most of the time, the law and court decisions make me want to vomit. Okay, and I'm not going out on a limb here by saying there's nothing going to be determined or decided in the courts. It's going to be decided in the real world. And I got news for you people. Whether you believe it or not, they will. This new world order, this UN, all this nebulous thing that you're talking about here, which is mostly Jews. I'm sure some of your Jewish friends know it, and maybe some of your Jewish friends don't know it, but this is mostly a Jewish agenda, okay? They will get their way. Gun control or not, they're not going to need to fire a shot at us. They're not going to open gunfire on us. If we don't use our guns other than defensively, we're finished. If we're just waiting for this terrible day when there's, you know, tyranny in the streets and UN troops and, you know, we finally have to open fire on them, if that ever comes, and I don't see it coming, it's going to be too late. They're going to accomplish everything they want to accomplish by doing exactly what it is they've been doing for decades now, this incremental assault on, if nothing else, our psychology.
Well, they're not so incremental anymore, are they?
No, they're right out in the open. And if you saw how many people obeyed and put on the mask, okay, which I was not one of them. When I went into grocery stores, I didn't wear a mask, period.
God bless you. I didn't wear a mask either.
And a few of us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but there's nobody here is preaching that we should go assault the federal government. We need to use them in defense. But
And I agree with you, but I also disagree, but I will fight to the death the right for Paul to say what he said. I have Jewish heritage. You know, my great-great-grandparents and my three times great-grandparents came over from Germany and France and were Jewish. I am sick and tired of seeing people wanting to blame one particular culture, one particular religion.
I'm sorry to tell you, God bless your soul for whatever your heritage is. I don't hold anything against anybody.
Okay,
We need to speak the truth here, okay? Globalism does not define anything, right?
Okay, Paul,
elitist does not define anything, and we know.
Okay, Paul, I hear what you're saying, but your truth is not necessarily somebody else's truth. Your experiences, the way you were raised, the way you've been indoctrinated maybe the last 30 years, I don't know what it is that is going on with you. But your truth is not somebody else.
There's no such thing as truth.
I'm not going to blame
truth. You're not
Paul?
Looking hard enough.
Okay, Mike, please. Okay, stop it, Paul. Thank you. What I'm trying to say is what is one person's truth is not necessarily another person's truth. But what Chris Brumbles and I are sitting here talking about, we're not sitting here, we're not going to put the blame game on all people in local and state government or federal government. We're not going to put the blame in all one party, because it is not just the Democrat Party that has become now more the Marxist Party than it is actually the Democrat Party, okay? The blame goes to the Republican Party too. It goes to every American who had the opportunity, whether it was myself, my parents, or my grandparents, who got very apathetic, very lazy, kind of took it for granted everything was going to be like it's always been, you know, like in fantasy land, and it is not. And to turn around and blame all the Catholics or blame all the Jews, I have zero tolerance for intolerance. And
I don't believe you used the word all. I don't believe you used the word all. But you know what, truth is? Truth is truth. You don't have your truth, and I have my truth. I mean, and I'm not saying he's right or wrong. He has a right to his opinion, though.
Thank you. I was trying to say, Chris. I was just trying to say is we can't put all the blame on people who have Jewish heritage or Jewish background or who are practicing Judaism. You can't blame every Hollywood.
He never said all.
Well,
he never said all.
He
said, at least I didn't say all.
He singled out one group, and that would be like me saying everybody in Hollywood is a communist, when I know that's not true. There's a lot of Republicans and conservatives, but they're kind of what I call closet conservatives, because in Hollywood, they're afraid to come out. What I want us to talk about is not putting the blame of the world stage on one culture, one religion, one basic group of persons. Say, you know, this, the Jewish are two-thirds to blame or more for the everything that's going on, and everybody else, is it's not important. What I want us to get back is the Second Amendment, because without the Second Amendment, we lose everything.
No, I got to disagree. I mean, they don't have a right to write these laws. And right now, because of Bruin, Nicer versus Bruin, I was just hoping we'd have time to talk about that, but it'd be a long conversation. I think it's going to save the gun. I think I honestly believe that because of Nicer versus Bruin, within 10 to 15 years, gun control will be extinct. And maybe we can talk about that some other time. But
we have a call coming in from Pat in Fort Worth. Has sure. a question for you. Fort Worth, Texas.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that if you go to the app thing, you can find it's the Constitution, and it shows the American flag just round. You know, it's and it'll even tell you, it even has everything in it labeled and other documents that have to do with it, and you can look up Supremacy Clause. Right there, it names it Supremacy Clause. So yes,
I carry a Constitution with me every day of my life, and I've been studying it for 17 or 18 years now, and all the supporting documents in the federal papers. So I've read it 1,000 times. I know what it means. And the Supremacy Clause does not say the federal government is supreme. It says the Constitution is supreme.
That's right.
Yeah.
Paul from California, he's a neo-Nazi, and he really needs to get saved living in California up there near all the
I don't think he's a neo-Nazi. Now you're labeling him.
He has
an opinion. And that's the problem. That's the problem.
Somebody asked him one time, if you don't like Trump, who would you want to be president? He said Hitler.
Who said that?
Paul from California.
Oh, did he really? Oh, wow. Okay. I want to say, Pat, thank you for calling in. Chris has got about three and a half, four minutes to wind this up. So go ahead, Chris.
Well, I think it's important that people take a look at what's going around the country. First of all, the first thing we got to do is get God back in this country. We got to invoke him back in and start acting like it. Because our country is founded on biblical principles. So judges are dropping cases all over the country, except for, of course, Oregon, California, Washington, Illinois, Hawaii, New York, New Jersey. And the Second Amendment has been proved to not be a second-class right. The Supreme Court has said that. Now, the Supreme Court has also defined all the terms. They've done all the legwork. And now, since Nicer versus Bruin, the mythology is you have to look at the Second Amendment as interpreted by the Supreme Court. And by the way, if anybody wants to look up the terms, Samuel Johnson was a lexicographer from London. That's the dictionary our founders used. And the Supreme Court uses that one and the Noah Webster Dictionary of 1828. I actually have a copy of that one. Once the text implicates the right to bear arms, the burden shifts to the government to prove or to bring forth, you know, historical analogs that support their case, which they will not find. So I'm going to ask you, the question is, where in time do these historical analogs come from? They come from the 18th century in the, you know, the late 18th century in the time period that we adopted the Bill of Rights. From 1791 to around 1826, because in 1826, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on July 4th, 50 years after the Declaration of Independence was written. And when they died, pretty much most of the founders were dead then. So between 1791 and 1826, if they don't find a law that they're trying to pass now, they can't pass it. And so that's why, you know, we're seeing all kinds of cases get thrown in, thrown out. In Illinois, they just have a quote-unquote assault weapons ban that they literally signed by the governor in 72 hours. It was an insurance case. Well, that's been enjoined. And then Oregon, of course, 114 is enjoined by the state, has an injunction on it. New York, multiple cases have been enjoined regarding sensitive places. And, you know, we've had victories against the ATF, bump stock ban, Rigby versus Jennings in Delaware. The ghost gun law or homemade firearm law has been found unconstitutional. We've had serial number cases get thrown out, laws for people under 21, felons. I mean, nonviolent felons have been thrown out. We've had, I mean, it just goes on and on. And I think within 10 to 15 years, it's going to be a extinct gun control. I do, because
that would be wonderful. That would be awesome, don't you?
Finally, so, woke up.
Yeah, yeah. So, what is the one thing you want people to know that's coming up in the near future that if they want to participate or go to, they can?
I don't understand the question.
Well, is there going to be a court case at all that the public can go to in the near future?
Well, I mean, I live in Oregon and we're going to have our case, I believe, at the end of March for the federal case, but that's about it. I wouldn't go to the federal court. You have to get frisked twice, and it's a pain in the butt.
Okay.
Well, I just wait for the results and help out. If you can donate money, go to OregonFirearms.org and click on our link to donate money, because it's taking a ton of it. And that's about it.
I would like to bring you back next Friday, Chris, so think about that. Okay. Folks, this is Chris Brummels, the coordinator for the Oregon Firearms Federation in Columbia County, Oregon, an Army veteran, someone who's been involved with many of our people across the country as far as your freedom of speech and your freedom to be able to either conceal or open carry. Thank you, Chris.
God bless y'all.
God bless you.
Do you think we have time? Lord, give us time.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.